Thank you. Yes, in fact, I'm going to talk to you about Wall-E, a little robot I wrote and maintain. Well, the brief outline is as follows. I'll just generally give you a general introduction, then show you three or four examples of actual correction tasks or what they really do. And then, if time allows, I'll also try to convince you that maybe we should actually have more and better robots for maintenance tasks in OSM. So for the short introduction, Wall-E is a robot strongly focused on maintenance, on fixing errors. It stays away as far as possible from all the controversial stuff like mass retagging and anything which really regularly causes trouble. You see the account up there. It's probably easier to go through a search page because this dot is a bit difficult to type. Wall-E performs a number of different corrections, most of which are country-specific, so it's no surprise it's running only in Germany. I'll get into detail later on. The whole thing started in late 2012, and, well, by mid-2013 it was fully functional and hasn't changed that much since. For a time, Wall-E has actually operated as a cron job, that is, fully automatically, without supervision being necessary. But currently I'm triggering it manually. To date, Wall-E has made some 30-something thousand edits, which is really a very, very modest number if you think of robots like the Redaction Bot or XY Bot or the Tiger Naming Sponge Bot, which have made literally millions of edits. So you may wonder why you would want to hear a talk about this one. Wall-E is special in a few aspects. Apart from being, at least to my knowledge, the first OSM robot with its own mascot, its own avatar, it's written in pretty much the most absurd choice for setting up an OSM tool, which is Emacs Lisp. It's running in Germany, which is special in the sense that we Germans tend to be relatively skeptical of robots and anything which is or even looks mechanical. Unlike most other robots and similar mechanical edits, it's pretty well documented. And perhaps the most important point is the design strategy, which was clearly to be conservative and avoid anything which might be unsafe. You'll see examples of this later on. The goal, obviously, is to improve data quality in general, but it's also an explicit goal to support, to aid our fellow mappers who involve in QA tasks and relieve them of the really trivial and simple tasks which they now have to do. So the problem addressed are the following, basically misspelled and abbreviated road names. It's basically the thing you saw in Simon's talk just before this one. Though Wall-E takes care of a few other errors. There's a large regime of various errors in address tags. There's rather simple fix of extra white space to geometry fixes, which I'll show later on, and a very generic fix of misspelled tags, or better, misspelled tag keys, which will also be one of the examples. A short history. The whole thing was inspired by XYBot. Some of you may remember that one. That was a similar maintenance robot, which ran from 2008 to 2012. Which did have a few flaws, unfortunately, but I think on the whole it really did a great service to OSM data quality at the time. And a couple of months after XYBot ceased operation, I just asked the informal question on the German forum, what do you think? Should we try to set up some kind of replacement? And the feedback was largely favorable, but unfortunately no one stepped forward and said, I'll do it. So, well, yeah, I did. And the first task was then actually more or less what Simon just showed you about JOSM, fixing street names. It then continued with a couple of other tasks, and also this street name fix got extended a bit. And for a while, or to be more precise, until the decommissioning of the Wikimedia tool server provided a home to Wall-E. I'll skip the details of this slide, but if you ever wonder how you would store an OSM object in Emacs Lisp, this is how. You can refer to this page. As a hint, the object you see there is our current venue, Building B. And if you want to know how an edit looks, then that's on the bottom of the page. All right, to get to the examples. One edit which Wally performs is a relatively simple one. We often see ways in OSM which contain sequences of nodes like A, B, 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 C, where A, B, C are supposed to be node IDs. And what we obviously want to do is to reduce those sequences to, well, in this case, A, B, C. Note that this is basically the only edit performed by Wally which is already safe by itself. That's also a key message I would like to convey in this talk. All the other edits, however trivial they may seem at first sight, turn out to be quite involved if you want to do them right, if you want to make sure you don't break things, if you want to make sure you only really improve things. And the second example is already one such case. We see ways which consist of only one node, which are, well, basically as pointless as those repeated nodes. And the canonical solution is to just delete them. This is also what Wally does, but deleting them might not always be the best solution. There might be cases, for example, where that way has tags, and it might be better to move the tags to the node, or the tags should be placed on some other way, and so on. So my approach here is that I don't just blindly delete everything, but I try to figure out cases where the deletion is safe, because no information will be lost. And only in these cases, Wally will proceed. Everything else will be left and will have to be checked by human mappers. Well, I don't have precise numbers, but if you lump all those safe cases together, then that's something between 50 and 90% of all those single node ways which you can safely remove. The rest, as I said, will then have to be taken care of by human mappers. The prototype case of a way which can safely be deleted is, of course, the one where a way has no tags, no history, no relation membership. Well, this doesn't contain any information and can be deleted. There are a few more complex cases, which I will skip now. Another example from the regime of the address fixes is the one of disentangling street and house number. You know that normally we write the street name when we enter some address in the address street tag, and the house number obviously in the house number tag. But it does occur that both get swapped, which is somehow related to the order of the fields in some editors, and people are used to having first the street, at least in Germany, first the street and then the house number, and they type in the way they are used to. Well, that happens to be sometimes the wrong field. It also occurs that people place both pieces of information in the same tag, either address street or address house number, and they also manage to duplicate the data. So you have part of the information in one and the whole information in the other tag. And since our fellow mappers are creative, they also manage to create contradiction, such as in the last line, which is the case where my robot really gives up, because that's nothing a robot can, or at least a robot like mine can safely do. Let's consider the case where both pieces of information have landed in the address street tag without loss of generality, in this case without loss of duplication also. What you want to do is identify the substring which represents the house number. So you'll want to check for a pattern, having one or more digits at the end of a string, possibly preceded by blanks. And then you'll want to remove those digits to the house number tag and remove the full match from the address street tag. It turns out that in practice, your pattern has to be a tiny bit more complicated. Even this one doesn't catch all the cases which occur in Germany, but at least the most important ones. But the real problem is that you get a lot of false positive matches. There are actually roads whose name ends in a number, such as those examples I showed you there, spread across all of Germany. So you cannot blindly apply this. You have to perform some kind of cross-check. But fortunately, these days, that is easy because we have the Overpass API. That was difficult in former times, but today it's really easy. You just have to check whether there is a highway nearby whose name corresponds to or is equal to that part of the address street tag which you have identified as the street name. So if you can assert this, then you're basically safe. If you don't find a corresponding highway, then you shouldn't do it, and of course Wally doesn't do it then. The last example involves misspelled tag keys. I guess the intention is obvious or will become obvious. I'll just jump into the procedure. You start out and analyze your preferred OSM extract, like Germany OSM PBF, for all the tag keys which occur in there and count those tag keys. Then you wind up with a terribly long list of thousands of different tag keys, including an impressive amount of variations, for example, of the track type key. Those are all real examples I found in the germany.osm.pbf, Germany alone. Well, from this huge set, you form pairs, basically, of all possible combinations, that is the Cartesian product. And of those pairs, you keep only the ones where the second element is much frequent, which will kill, for example, the combination highway and track type, because track type certainly isn't more frequent than highway. Next, you consider the editing distance of those which remain. That is, you calculate the editing distance between the first and the second partner and drop everything whose editing distance is too large, depending on your preferred metric. This will kill you, for example, the combination track type and highway, because those tags really aren't related in any way. Now, you wind up with a list of candidates for substitution rules, but you will want to review them very closely and one at a time, because this procedure will give you a hell of a lot of false matches. But after this review, you will have a set of filtering and substitution rules which you can apply, and the last line is then actually what Wally does in this case. It does apply the substitution rules obtained by this pattern to condense all those variations into the proper tag. Another difficulty in applying this substitution is that you may have the case where both track type and, let's say, targ type are present, and you have to find a way to cope with this. I mean, if the values are identical, it's obvious. You just delete the wrong one. If the values differ, then you probably can't do anything safely. All right, I promised to also try to make a case for more maintenance robots in OSM. You won't be surprised to learn at this point that, in my view, yes, we should explore where robots make sense, and we should make use of them. This is clearly limited to maintenance tasks. I'm certainly not advocating that now everybody runs their robots for whatever nonsense they like. We should limit this to maintenance tasks, and we should keep it under community control. The question here is not a technical one. The question is not whether we or our data would benefit from this. The question is, whether we want this, because it strongly affects also the OSM culture, where, at least in most countries, well, mechanical edits, for good reasons, aren't overly popular. I know many of you won't feel very comfortable with this proposal. Let me, before I try to convince you of my view, let me just summarize the key objections which occur. Those are, the first is a technical one. It's easy to break the data. The second is a social one. It's easy to harm the community. I'll get back to these two later on. The third one goes in a somewhat different direction. I call this an ideological argument, but this is not meant in a pejorative sense. The argument is perfectly valid. It's an argument of, well, this is not how I want to see the future of OSM. This is not how I want OSM to evolve. And I think we as a community will have to find an answer to that question. So you may ask, why shouldn't we just have our mappers do all the maintenance tasks? Well, this is what is happening now, basically, but unfortunately, we have very few mappers involved in this work, and those mappers really are a scarce resource. And also, QA work in OSM can be quite frustrating if you keep fixing the same mistakes all over again, all the time. And especially if your own edits, what you're doing is really trivial. If you're just removing white space, if you're just condensing those repeated notes, that's really boring stuff and can be done by a robot. What's also making this work more difficult is that our amount of data is growing, which is good, but it doesn't make the work easier. That is partly due to all those imports and gray imports which keep occurring. And we have a continuous influx of erroneous data from various sources. I mean, inexperienced mappers, well, yeah, everybody has to learn. That's no problem in itself. The problem is rather that we're pretty bad at converting those beginners to regular mappers who will then make fewer mistakes or even help help fixing mistakes. Also, we saw in Simon's talk that JOSM goes to quite some lengths to perform validation, but there are a number of editors around which perform only very basic or no validation at all. And well, sometimes publicity, which is of course good, results in certain effects, like a large German insurance company telling all its sales agencies, we need to be in OSM or we need to be in WheelMap, insert yourself in the WheelMap. And then you have literally dozens of broken addresses and insurance companies tagged as hospitals or banks or whatever. And what the bottom line is, the few mappers who involve in this cannot handle all the work alone. So getting back to those first two objections, it's easy to break the data with a robot. Well, there's no denying this. I mean, there's plenty of proof of robots or mechanical edits gone horribly wrong. But we shouldn't forget that also manual edits can introduce errors. If you just think of the edits you made yourself and the mistakes you made yourself and how easily those happened, well, yeah, you know. On the other hand, a robot will do precisely what it was programmed for, which then ideally coincides with the intentions of its programmer and also the community mandate. So in a certain sense, this is actually safer. It only really does what was programmed and doesn't have any side effects. The second objection was it's easy to harm the community. Yes, also this risk is pretty obvious. I mean, we've had tangent various times. And also the problem of scaring away individual contributors, because they think, well, if you don't like my edits the way I do them, then yeah, you can do this without me. That's not a problem of robots alone, but it is a problem also of robots. Certain types of edits tend to be more controversial than others. For example, arbitrary retagging of objects, or the so-called deprecation, which isn't even really defined in OSM. Anything which involves names and, tasks which are executed poorly and so on. And it appears that bug fixing is a lot less problematic in this sense, but the difficulty on the other hand is to define what is actually an error. And unfortunately, I don't think there's even a precise definition for that. On the other hand, I would like to claim that there might be positive community effects. This is somewhat based on the feedback which I have received. I think a robot can help make OSM or OSM work a more enjoyable experience for those who contribute in the QA work. Because you don't have to do all this tedious, boring stuff all over again, and you can focus on the more challenging, more interesting work which really requires human insight. And also, from the perspective of the one who made the mistake, which can be quite embarrassing, it may be positive if things are fixed by a robot, because it's embarrassing to make a mistake. It's even more embarrassing to find out that someone else had to clean up the mess you created. But if that someone else is a robot, well, no one had extra work from it. And you also realize that your mistake was anticipated. Others have made it before. So this is my hope, that there might actually be positive effects. How about time? Okay. I said we should still keep this under control, and I would like to drop a remark on policies. You know that we do have a policy for such edits in place, which basically requires discussion, documentation, testing, and so on. This policy is often criticized as being too strict, and I disagree here. I think the problem with a policy is not that it is too strict in general. The problem is that it doesn't distinguish and doesn't differentiate any further between the various kinds of mechanical and more or less mechanical edits. I mean, for a full-scale robot like mine, I think there's no discussion that this should fall under strict regulation. But you should make some distinction between simple one-on-one tag replacement and more complex edits which are using a pattern and which tend to be more error-prone, and all the various other kinds. So for my last slide, instead of a longish summary, I would just like to say thank you both to you as the audience for your attention, but also to the various people on the forum engaged in the discussion and provided a lot of very valuable and highly appreciated feedback. So, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Oliver, for the very interesting talk. Do we have questions?
First quick question, how often does it run and how long does it need for one run go through all the German data?
Currently it's triggered manually, so it runs about one or two times a week. The address fix is used to run for a while automatically every 2 days. What actually takes a while is the processing of the Germany extract, which takes some 20 minutes or so with a lot of potential for optimization. Well, time wasn't a concern at this point. And the actual fixes, since they work on only a very small amount of data, are a lot faster. So they basically take long because there's a pause in order not to get in trouble with the OSM API, because there's only one object edited at a time.
Okay. You detect a lot of problems and then you fix the ones that you are sure about, that you can fix them automatically. What do you do with the others? Do you have some kind of way to inform actual human users that there is a case that somebody might want to look at?
Unfortunately, not really. I mean, there is some coincidence, there is some correlation, for example, to the house number validator, which detects more or less similar errors, though I don't provide my own feedback. For the geometry stuff, there's not so much left by Wally, and I can just check the candidate files myself and see what has remained, and check those, and then I will be the one who repairs them.
Okay. Last question. There was this famous case with a bot fighting itself, changing street names from the German to the Swiss spelling and back. Do you have any kind of tracking that you know I changed this object the last run and so I will not change it again, whatever happens, or something like that?
Yes, exactly. With the exception of, I think, the geometry fixes, every edit has its own block list, and every object which gets edited once is added to the corresponding block list, so it won't be edited again.
Okay, thank you.
What do you think about more aggressive editing by robots? For example, automatically getting the elevation data of hiking tracks from an external source, or getting translations already done in Wikipedia for objects?
Well, the elevation tracks, I think, are a different topic. That's more like an import, which I'm generally not very fond of. My personal view. For Wikipedia tags, I think one would have to consult the community and see whether there is support for this and whether it can be done sufficiently safely. And, well, I don't know the details, so I cannot really comment on this, whether I think it would be safe enough.
Okay. Just the idea. Getting automatically a POI where you have a confirmed name and or a link to a Wikipedia page and then get all the exact translations from that page from Wikipedia. I mean, that's basically a simple edit. And
there is no such thing as a simple edit.
Exactly, yes.
Other questions?
So do you have any ideas regarding deprecated tags? For example, a few days ago I stumbled about building type equals barn, also building double colon type, mm-hmm. Which was, I didn't find any documentation until I go into the history of the wiki pages and it is deprecated. And it's a few years now. So do you think there is a nice way to remove or replace such tag with the new ones, or what kind of process would you propose?
Well, I think from the technical perspective, you can use tools similar to the ones I'm using. I think there was a mechanical edit on the measurement station versus monitoring station. I don't even know which one was successful, but They were condensed into only one of the tags after several years of coexistence. I'm generally a bit skeptical. This deprecated tag stuff is not what I do. I stay away from this because it's not my domain. I think in certain isolated cases it can make sense, and the measurement monitoring stuff was one such example, I think. But generally we have this problem of, say, 5 people discussing on the wiki page, well, this should be deprecated, 20 voting, and then 5 million objects worldwide get changed. And, well, I think this is part of, well, what I showed you, it's easy to harm the community. So I do have.
Yeah, I'm talking about those cases where this tag is not used anymore, but there are so many old data which, and the deprecation is 2 years old or something like that. So it was accepted somehow by the community, by the mappers, by not using it anymore, but the old data.
It's somehow a difficult distinction. I mean, I do this general misspelled tag keys, and there are, of course, some where in the early phases you had a coexistence of two variants, and then everybody more or less agreed on the one variant. So that's a part where you might argue that I'm not really doing clear fixes, but I might get into the domain of retagging. And this is difficult. I really try to stay on the side where I can safely say, okay, this is really so rare that it probably was a mistake, and it is an improvement to retag it. But when the numbers are comparable, still comparable, even if those are just legacy tags from 5 years ago, I wouldn't really feel comfortable about it, at least not doing it myself. I might even support someone else doing it, but it's not the domain I work in.
Okay, another question?
Hi. Is there a standard protocol for discussing changes that someone likes to have applied? There's usually the case that changes to be performed by bots need to be discussed in a wiki page or in mailing lists and so on. So is there an established standard way of doing so?
Not really. I think there's basically only one robot running at the moment which largely respects the guidelines, and all the others were running a long time ago, so there's never been any clear and well-followed procedure. I discuss my ideas on the German forum. In Germany, you may know, we have this more or less one-on-one split between the talk and the forum, but competent people on both in both media. But I think there is no really standard way. The policy requires you should discuss it on the mailing list and or forums, but I don't know how that is followed in other countries, for example.
If you are running a preprocessor for a router or for a renderer, then you have to do even more aggressive normalizations normalize the tags and stuff. What do you think about the idea of running such a robot, not as a robot writing it back to the database, but providing a normalized PBF of the planet that can be used by subsequent processing for routers and renderers?
I think it's an interesting idea, though I haven't really looked into it myself, and my tools certainly aren't adequate for that. But certainly it might be interesting, though probably for one of the commercial providers like Geofabrik and so on, who pre-process the data and make them available.
Okay, I think if there's no other question, then we can go to the lunch break. Originally, there was a group photo scheduled for the beginning of the lunch break. This has been moved to the afternoon coffee break. So in the afternoon coffee break, we will want you to assemble in the entrance hall for a group photo. Thank you.